Hi, everyone, and welcome to Being Youthful. I am Kim Biegler, the owner of Youthful Fiber Farm and Mill, and I am sitting here in the wool mill today in Halsey, Oregon. If you are new, I'm going to talk about wool and cotton, you all. We're going to throw some cotton talk in, among other things, as well as, well, anyway. If you're new, there's lots of wool talk and lots of hand spinning and yarn and all of those wonderful things. So if you like those things, you have come to the right place. If you are returning, thank you so much. All of you, please don't forget to subscribe, comment. I love it all. And YouTube likes it too. So welcome. This episode, I have got some videos from inside my wool mill. I have got a part two from going to Valley Oak Wool Mill. I think we go to her spinner. And I've got some videos, some very quick videos from Oregon Flock and Fiber Festival, which was this past weekend in Albany, Oregon. I was so busy, I didn't get a lot of videos, but I will share what I did get. And I'm going to talk a little bit about spinning cotton, among other things. So, because I took a spinning cotton class, so we got a lot, and I'm going to try to keep it brief, but I don't know. And if you're listening, thank you for listening. And I will put a link to this episode on YouTube in the show notes for the audio only. You guys, I look a bit like a wet rat today. It's been so wet, and not even, I mean, it has been wet, but it's been so humid, and it's supposed to be like 70 degrees today. And a lot of these days it's been like 90% humidity, 80, which is a lot for us. And my hair just, it's giving up. It's giving up. So, and I just got a haircut last week and you would never know. If you're listening, I look like a goddess right now, so don't worry. But if you're watching, I apologize. I look like a marshmallow because I put so many layers on because it was 55 or so and kind of misty and but it's supposed to be 71, which I don't know. Anyway, here we are. Okay, let's start with Oregon Flock and Fiber. Oh, I forgot one other thing I'm going to talk about. I never made the video on working with a drop spindle. What do you do after you have made that first bit of yarn? So we're going to talk about that. I'm going to hit on it quickly in here. Okay, back to Oregon Flock and Fiber. So I went up, I don't know why, but I was just like underestimating my time, I guess, at Oregon Flock and Fiber. Or I just thought, I'm just going to zip up there. It's like a maybe 45 minute drive for me to get there. Easy for me. That's nothing because it's basically country and Interstate 5. So quick. I thought I'll just pop up there. No big deal. Wander around, say hi to people because that's one of the things I miss from vending. And then I will go home. I'll just be there for like 2 hours or so. I even ordered groceries to pick up to keep myself on track. Needless to say, I was a little late for those groceries, but I was wandering around doing all the things I thought, wandering the vendors, met up with a friend who was taking classes, hung out with her, then wandered. And then we walked into the animal barn and I was like, oh crap, there's a flea sale. For whatever reason, I had just space. And I actually haven't been to this festival. I've been to it before. I actually used to vend at it, but not in the new venue where it is. So it just kind of threw me, I guess. I don't know. But there were a lot of fleeces, you all. A lot of fleeces. I didn't even get pictures of the fleeces. And I got there, I don't know how long the sale, but anyway, the point is there were a lot of fleeces. So after my friend went to class, I think I did 3 trips with fleeces after I went shopping. So I bought, I'm going to say 5 or 6 from the fleece sale. 2 different braids. I'm not necessarily going to share them with you now. A lot of it's going to end up in Fiber Club over the next few months. So if you're in Fiber Club, watch out because I am pumped. I have so many months of Fiber Club. Then I kept wandering the sheep barn, saying hi to people. One of my shears, like half of my shears, I have, they come as a pair generally. And Michael, he was there. You've probably seen videos. If not, you can go back and see Michael. He tends to shear with a like tie-dye-ish tank top on. So easy to find. And he was there. He was showing some of his sheep, but he also had fleeces. He was with the High Desert Wool Growers Association. I'll put a link in the show notes to them. I'm pretty sure they have a website and they do have a festival once a year, which is over the mountains from us. So not full, I think it's Central Oregon is probably what it's considered, east of us. So drier weather, tends to be some different fleeces grown out there. Anyway, he was there, and I have been wanting some of his fiber for a long time. He raises Jacobs, and he does a lot of BFL crosses. I think they're like BFL Shetland, which shut the front door on that. So he had some for sale, and he had some sheep that he was showing that his wife was like, well, he'll shear these tomorrow morning for you, and you can take their fleeces too. So all their fleeces, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. He was gonna take some pictures of the sheep before he shore them, so I'll message him, and if I have a picture, I will insert here before so you can see the sheep. And another person in the High Desert Grower, I have gone to her house before. I bought fleeces from her before. Actually, two people. One, I basically bought up 50% of what she had left. And then another one I ran into, and we had kind of forgotten each other, but then we were like, wait a minute, as I was buying a fleece from her. So anyway, I think I came home with 12 or 13 fleeces in total. That does not count what I bought at Lambtown last week. So a lot of fleeces. I have a video that I will share. Maybe I'll share it now. Let's mix it up and throw videos all over the place. So let's go see the video. If you're listening to the audio, I will leave it in here because I think I talk enough about the fleeces. I did want to preface this with, let's get real about owning a wool mill for a minute. It's a lot of work. To say the least, it is a lot of work, and I enjoy it. And I think just about every mill owner is in love with wool or alpaca or whatever it is. And that's why we do it. If you don't love fiber, it's probably not worth the amount of time that goes into it. And so one of the things that I have shifted from over the years, when I first started the wool mill, I was doing custom processing. And my goal was always to have my own product, my own yarn, my own hand spinning fibers. And I thought yarn, 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 because I was pretty heavy into yarn at that point. And as the years have gone by, what I realized was, I don't love custom processing. It's very stressful for me. I don't like not knowing what's coming in the door. I don't like trying to create the perfect product for somebody out of something that they have grown to purchase. It's just high stress for me. And I didn't want to completely burn out on this job. So over the years, I have moved my business away from custom processing, which of course means the custom processing, you get paid. You make the product for somebody and they pay you right away. What I'm doing now takes more marketing effort, right? Because I am having to purchase the wool outright. So I have an investment in, I've got to process it all out, and then I've got to find you all to buy it. So thank you all for buying it. I appreciate every single sale that comes through my shop, whether it's online or in person. Trust me, I do a happy dance. Anyway, one of the things I've dealt with over the years as I've transitioned this is like a certain level of guilt that has sort of weighed on my shoulders. And a lot of mill owners are faced with it on different levels. We all take our own path when we own a mill. We all find what is going to work for us and we go with it. For me, it's been this, but it has come with, I know, a lot of disappointment from people, especially in this area, that I don't do custom processing. I know it's come with disappointment when I have sold equipment over the years because people want it to stay in the area and all those things. The problem is that I have to enjoy doing it. Otherwise, I would have been out years ago. It's very hard. You're on your feet a lot. It can be pretty dirty. It can be hot. It can be cold. It can be all the things. It can be devastating when something doesn't turn out the way it's supposed to. So I had to kind of find my own joy that would also support the business, which is not necessarily easy to do with a mill either. So one of the ways that I have, and I've gotten through it, I've had to just let some of that go, right? I've just had to let it go But when I can go and buy this much wool from shepherds, when I go on wool buys and buy mass quantities of wool, it's where I find my joy and my purpose, because to me, I'm still contributing a big part to the wool economy by paying shepherds what they want for the wool that they're spending a lot of time growing. So when I show this video, that's where I'm coming from, is this is part of where I find my joy and part of where I hope that I am helping. And also by buying from so many different growers that I can share with you all, not only their wool, but education about their sheep and education about what goes into it. So I just wanted to share that because when I come home with a lot of wool, while it's exciting to buy wool for sure, it also, I look at it as a bit daunting because now I have all this wool that I have to process, that I love doing, but it still is a lot of work. And, you know, I just wanted to share with you all kind of some of the other side of owning a mill, what comes with it. A lot of people burn out owning mills, and I didn't want to do that. And this is just kind of the path that has come with me. And then a lot of it has come as I've discovered with teaching. So, anyway, let's cut to that video and, I'll be back in just a minute. Okay. All right, everybody. So here is what I brought back. This is just from Oregon Flock and Fiber. So it's like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 fleeces or so. And, they're kind of batched out. Probably 4 breeds are right here. I'm very excited. A lot of these will be in the upcoming Fiber Club, but I just wanted to show you, how much I come home with and how fun it is for the shepherds I buy from, because I'm buying a fair amount of fleeces from each of them. When I do buy, I don't just buy one fleece. I usually buy quite a few fleeces. So I'm not going to show you what's in them because you'll see eventually. You'll see eventually. I think I have one I could show you. Yes, there's one right here I can show. And I'm going to zoom in a little bit. This is a Gulf Coast native. She only had one fleece left, and so I grabbed it because it's just a fun fleece that we don't really get here. So there's that. So Gulf Coast native. She's one of the only people really around that is growing this, and I was excited to be able to grab one of her fleeces up from this year. I've gotten one or two in the past, but it's been a while. So there's some Gulf Coast native for you. Okay, I'm gonna go clean up my big mess now. That's a lot of work ahead, isn't it? Whew, my whole car was full. And I don't know what it was at this festival, but every time, okay, it could be that I spent a ridiculous amount of time loading stuff into my car, but I kept running into people at my car, and I'd be like hanging my head in shame, like, oh my gosh, you guys, don't look at my car. Anyway, I am grateful every day for what I do. Okay, so I spent Saturday, that's my wool, I'll be right back. I've got to get that moving. Okay, we're back. Make sure everything's set up still. Okay, we're set up. Okay, onward. Enough talk about fleeces and all that stuff, right? Okay, so I took a spinning cotton class. And I will tell you that I was very nervous to take this class. I'm just gonna fix my hair while we're here. Because I have tried to spin cotton for like a second and it was top, which is probably never the way to start, right? I don't encourage people to start spinning wool that way. Why would you start spinning top that way or cotton that way? So I took this class with Julie Drogsvold. I think that's how you say her name. She is from Arizona. She mentored with someone called Joan Ruin. I think that's how you say her name. Who's now 90. She's kind of been considered, and 90 years young. I'll tell you that from hearing the stories, but she's kind of been considered the queen of spinning cotton. She does a lot of educating. Anyway, Julie is one of her mentees. So I was really excited to take this class with her. Also very anxious. My friend Wendy and I took it together. Wendy was, interested in spinning cotton from trees that are in Hawaii, from when she visits family. What was really interesting was to find out it's cotton. Like, it's basically, because Hawaii is a tropical environment that year round kind of maintains the same temperature, the cotton plant grows all year round. So it grows into a tree, but it's, you know, regular. It's, oh my gosh, my cat. She's so saucy right now. Okay. So anyway, that was just a side note. Okay, let me show you. It is a madhouse in here, you all. Nigel, who you probably saw running around back there, he recently tore, and we're hoping it's just a partial tear, a ligament either in his knee or in his leg. So he is on sort of a house arrest. So he's coming here. He's been coming here anyway, but he has to come now because we have to keep him calm. Fingers crossed, just a partial tear. I think we're on the road to recovery, but we'll see. Otherwise, surgery. not a cheap surgery at that. Okay. He's doing well, though. He's a troop. You can see him kind of hobbling three legs, but he's gotten used to it. Okay. Cotton. So the first thing she had us do was spin. This is called cotton lint. I actually just bought some because this is how excited I am about spinning cotton. So I just bought some cotton lint. So this is basically cotton that's been de-seeded from what I understand. I got this from lunaticfringeyarns.com. They have a lot of cotton stuff. So if you are interested in cotton product or something I'm about to show you in a minute. So this is this. And what we did was we made punies. So I will show you. I was lucky enough to, when I was at Lambtown, I bought wool carders from Clemis and Clemis. And so I had some nice, cotton carders. So I had some nice cotton carders to use. So punie on a punie stick that we pulled off of cards, hand cards. And so this just will pop off of here. And there is what we started spinning with in the class. And this is from the cotton lint, and she had her husband dye it up in different fun colors. So, which apparently cotton, you do not need heat. You can use sunlight to dye cotton. So that's exciting. Okay. So we spun from those. Then she had us after class, we spun from cotton top. My cat at home got into this a little bit, so it's not as perfect. So this is a natural colored cotton top. And then we plied them together. She was a fantastic teacher. I will put a link to her website in the show notes. She does teach at different places. She's kind of taken over teaching for Joan. Joan, I think, is still teaching some, and she's definitely teaching in Arizona. But if you want to catch Julie in another state, she is teaching at different festivals around. So there you go. Okay, finished yarn. Are you ready for this? I don't know if I've been as proud of a skein since I started spinning. This was it's kind of like learning to spin again. It's a very, when you're spinning the punies especially, it is changing your muscle memory, as she said, because you are spinning, you do need to spin long draw to spin cotton. So you probably could spin it short forward. It would not be easy, and it would probably be severely over twisted. So I don't know that you actually could, but long draw is definitely the way to go when you're spinning cotton. There it is. And I'm really proud of it. Real proud of it. And the dyed stuff, you can see we plied it with that natural. This hasn't been set yet, so I still need to set it. And I did try, because it really is like learning to spin all over again a little bit. I mean, it's not, but it's learning a new technique, a very, very new technique to spinning. And cotton, I should show you in case you've never worked with cotton. Let me find some. Cotton is excessively short. So cotton is like a half of an inch, even that at times. It's a very, very short fiber. So this is why spinning it long draw, and you make adjustments to your wheel so that the twist goes in as fast as you can get it to go in. And you have to have some twist built up before you can start drafting, because otherwise this will not stay together. Which is why it's very intimidating. I will tell you, I've been like practicing just like I tell new spinners, 10 minutes a day. And I was excited because I have got some cotton top. I'll show it to you. That came from Sistari, which is a wool mill in Virginia. And this is Virginia grown cotton. And I could not spin this before. Here comes our train, everyone. But I was able to spin it the other night. I'm not going to say it's gorgeous, but it's just like when you're learning to spin. Don't pay attention so much to the yarn. Pay attention to learning the draft and handling the fiber. The yarn, that perfect yarn, will come later, whatever that looks like to you. So, anyway, I'm very excited. I am more than happy to talk more cotton next week if you all want me to talk more cotton. And you might be thinking, like, why are you taking so many classes? This is the third class I've taken in 10 days. My brain is completely overloaded. But inspiration is one thing. For me, continuing to learn constantly is fun and challenging. And as it turns out, when taking this cotton class, for me, it's not just about spinning wool. It's it's truly about spinning because I was so inspired to learn something new to spin on my wheel. It just got all the juices. It wasn't like I came home and was like, psh, which is what I thought was going to happen. I was going to be like, ah, stupid cotton, back to wool. But instead, I was inspired to keep spinning. The other thing is, the more I learn, the better teacher I become, right? Because I just have more insight that I can then share with all of you or the students in my course, which is really important to me. I want to be a good teacher. And then also just being inspired by the teacher. Like Julie was such an amazing teacher. She taught me this new skill in a matter of hours. And somebody in the class said, I can't believe we're doing this. How is this even possible? And Julie was like, because you've got a great teacher. And it's so true. A great teacher, no matter what it is you're learning, can make such a difference, right? So anyway, those are all the reasons I have been taking all these classes. And you know, it's fun. Also, would I have loved if they were spaced out a little bit more? Maybe. But this brings me to my course is launching Beginning Hand Spinning on a Spinning Wheel for Complete Beginners. Will be available again next Tuesday. I think it's October 24th. You can now go to my website and sign up. I will have a link in the show notes to free webinars that I am doing next week, just kind of gently easing you into hand spinning. Whether you are brand new to it or you've just started and you're having some issues, this course is great. The webinar will talk you through some stuff as far as having the right fiber, understanding the basics of your wheel, and just kind of taking a deep breath and being ready to jump in. So you can head to my website now to sign up for the webinar. You do need to sign up to save your spot. So head over and do it. It's going to be fun. It is live. You can ask me questions at the end. Actually, you can chat with me through the whole thing. I love the interaction. So get in there. It's free. The course will be available next week. I'll talk more about it, I'm sure, next week as it will be available, but it is all pre-recorded. There are live Zooms associated with it, so you can come on each, I think it's just about every week for 4 weeks. You can pop onto a Zoom, you can check in with me, you can ask questions, you can see where everybody else is. It helps keep you moving along in the course, and if you move along in the course, you will be a hand spinner because I have seen it before, so I know it works. Anyway, go to the website, head to the, go to my show notes, or you can go to the website. In the Wool School section, you can see where you can sign up for the webinars, and I would love to see you in there and get you spinning. Okay, a couple other things. I just wanted to show you the few other purchases I got while my cat's on my lap, in case you haven't noticed. So one, I have to mention, this is a beautiful wool top that I bought because you know I'm trying to branch out a little bit and buy wool tops. So I bought this. This is Dye Centra Designs. She is a local to us, fairly local to us dyer. She's OG. She is the original, one of the original. She has been dyeing a long time. She dyes very luscious stuff. This is a BFL. I bought two of these because you want to have 8 ounces, right? And I also bought one other color to go with one of the other braids, a solid to go with one of the variegated braids that I got the other week. Dye Centra Dyes, I will put a link in her show notes. I'm excited to spin that. Another thing I got, look at this gorgeous. So this is Rooibos Farm. I've talked about them, it's probably been 2 years, but I have bought fleeces from them. They're over the mountain. And this is Merino from her farm that she had processed out and then she dyed it. And I love it. I was so excited. I bought a bunch of fleeces from her and then I bought this for myself. And because sometimes I don't get to spin Fiber Club or whatever that becomes. It goes so fast I don't get any of it. So I'm excited and I actually decided I am going to ply this with something I have been spinning that was a variegated that like I'm kind of iffy. So I want to put it with something a little poppy. And if I can, I'll get a picture and I'll put it here so you can see. But this will be up on the wheel very soon. And I bought these earrings. These are from Bidewe. I actually was talking about them. This is the Jacob farm that has luscious Jacob wool. And this is ram horn that she makes all sorts of products with. She is amazing about using the whole animal when they are processed, which is very important. We don't want to waste anything because these are valuable creatures to us and we want to appreciate all that they are doing for us. So I thought these were really, they were just right up my alley. And she just started making them. So that was what I got. I wanted to mention that in all these classes, one thing that has been very handy, I realized, is these little knitty knotties. I have them in the online shop. This is from Katrinkles. I have them in my online shop, but they fold apart and there's two more pieces. These are knitty knotties are what you use to take your yarn off of your bobbins when you're done with it. And so these can extend out to be a 2 yard knitty knotty or a 1 yard knitty knotty. And man, oh man, when you're traveling to classes and you need a knitty knotty, how convenient is that? Much more convenient than what I was doing. Okay, so learn from me. And these are pretty affordable. I think they're about $30. Great. Okay. We talked about off. We talked about the upcoming course. I have a viewer Q&A to answer. And that is Susan noticed in my last video that there was a Dorper pen of sheep when at Lambtown we were walking through the sheep barn. She said she's never heard of it. She's curious to know. It looked like it was wearing a white bodysuit. And it definitely does. I will see. I think I can grab a picture and stick it in here. It does look like they're wearing a bodysuit. They are very striking sheep, Susan. I 100% agree. That's how I felt when I saw them. And she was wondering, are they coated? Like, she just couldn't tell. Like, was it a coat that was so white? Because it was like black head, white body, and like basically a line. So Susan and anybody else watching from the Fleece and Fiber source book, I wanted to pull this, and I believe those sheep had been shorn. So technically Dorpers, this is very interesting. And like I said, this is from the Fleece and Fiber source book. It's like a Bible of wool. They are classed as hair sheep, and they were developed in the 30s in South Africa by crossing, get this, Horn Dorset, which we have just talked about. So they actually fall into the Dorset breed. Dorpers fall into the Dorset breed. So they cross them, Horn Dorset rams, with blackhead Persian ewes. And that's how they got the Dorper. Then I think from what it sounded like, they realized that having hair sheep was really the way to go, which the blackhead Persian are, because it's so humid, etc., in South Africa. So they went that route, but the Dorpers had already been created in the 1930s. So I think that they're classified as a hair sheep, but I believe those sheep had been shorn. They probably just don't put out much is what I'm guessing, but we could find out more information, or somebody can comment and let me know what they know about Dorper sheep. They are very striking sheep, very striking. Okay. Also quickly, I wanted to show you all that are new to drop spindles, and I am not a drop spindle queen, but I know a fair amount because I know a lot about wool and I know a lot about spinning, and I know a dangerous amount about drop spindling. But somebody had asked about, like, kind of like, what do you do after you get your first yarn on your drop spindle? Okay, so I want to show you what I do. I learned this shoebox trick from Maggie, a friend Maggie, and I go ahead and I slide off of the drop spindle onto a, now yes, if you only have one drop spindle, you'll want to slide both. So you'll do a single, slide it onto a knitting needle. You can see it's a knitting needle. So I would just put this right up against the drop spindle, slide it off. Then you do the same thing. If you slide it off and put it in, you may risk it'll work still, but you may get a little bit more tie up when you're plying. So when you finish that first single, you could just pull it off. You could use a lazy Kate, a knitty knotty, and pull it off and have a singles yarn. Or you can slide it onto a knitting needle, spin another single, and you can see this is just like holes punched in to the box, and then you can ply on this. So you could have your empty drop spindle, and you can ply. Let me grab the ends here. These are not equivalent as far as weight, but that's okay, you get the point. So then you have this thing that will let you slide. Now you may have to angle it. You'll have to angle it so that they don't pop out. But do you see how you can then slide? Wish this food just cranked. So you can just ply off of this onto your drop spindle. Now I cheat and I ply onto my wheel because it's just what I do. But that's kind of the next steps after you do a single. You can either take it off, have it as a single, and honestly, a one nitty knotty. I think that the 1 yard nitty knotties are really nice for small skeins. A 2 yard nitty knotty is pretty long. So that is a quick down and dirty. Feel free to ask more questions. Any of you first time drop spindlers, do you see Wish is wondering where the heck her bowl is? Hold on while I go feed her. Okay, now you can see we've got kitty butt. Okay. So I hope that helps. Feel free to ask questions. If you are a drop spindler, Maggie, if you're watching and you want to add anything into that, feel free. Feel free. Okay, quickly, we're almost done, you all. I have been talking forever. What's happening at the mill? Fiber Club. You all get to see October's Fiber Club. Finally, it is a Horn Dorset. Speaking of Horn Dorset, it is a Horn Dorset. The wool is from Silver Creek Lambscapes, which she was in a recent video. I dyed it up in the wool and then came up with this epic variegated roving. I'm not sure if there's going to be any left or not. You can go online and check and see, but my Fiber Club people may snatch up. There was only a limited amount left. They may have snatched it up, but there are spaces in Fiber Club. This in gets you excited to join up because there is not always extra. I also have my South Country Cheviot fleece that I was going to show you all. Hopefully I'll have enough time to pop it in here. It's a very quick video. That's what's happening at the mill. The Fiber Club is beautiful. I'm hearing from everybody that got it, that is communicating with me, that it is spectacular. So very happy because when I dye stuff in the wool and then when I do, you'll see in the video, but I have to be much more aware when I'm carding to get the colors to run the way I want. So we'll see that. We'll also check, as you can tell, we're going into videos because I have got to stop talking. You guys have to be sick of me by now. Part two of Valley Oak Wool Mill, going to see her spinner. I'm going to show some quick videos of Julie, our teacher, spinning cotton. Maybe next time I'll show you me spinning cotton. And I have just a couple quick videos from off. So let's go watch some videos and then we'll come back and I will say my goodbyes. Okay, see you in a minute. Enjoy. Okay, if you are listening to the audio version of this, I will be sure to have a link to the YouTube channel in the show notes. So if you want to watch any of these extra videos, pop on over into the show notes and then head to my YouTube channel and you can just click in. There are chapters so you can fast forward through, get right to where you want to be. Okay, thanks for listening. I'll be back in a minute to say goodbye. Okay, you all, I hope that those were all fun to watch. They were fun for me. Whatever was happening in all the videos, I had fun. I did forget to mention, I wanted to show you in case you are interested in spinning cotton, but you can't get to a class. I did buy Joan Shepherd Rouen. I think that's her name. This is her book, Beginning Cotton Spinning on a Wheel, Taking Away the Fear of Spinning Cotton. I know it's backwards. I can't help it. Anyway, Julie talked about this class. This is her mentor, and she walks all through step by step, basically everything we learned as far as carding it and things like that. I found this book at the Lunatic Fringe Yarns website. I will put a link to in the show notes. I'll make sure to put the title of this book in there too. But just in case you are interested, I did also buy some cotton bowls, B-O-L-L-S, which is just straight, which I have a video of Julie spinning like that. I did also ask my dad, hi dad, if he would go to a local farm and try to score some cotton. He lives in North Carolina, which is one of the many cotton growing spots in our country. And I said, hey, you know that farmer you were talking to the other day? So I think it's past harvest, but you never know, or maybe next year. Okay, that's it. Don't forget to head to my website if you want to sign up for one of those webinars. I would love to see you in there. It's fun for me to be able to chat with people and have interactions. It helps invigorate me to keep going. So please join me. If you're thinking about purchasing my course, it's $167, just to let you know. It'll be available starting next Tuesday, October 24th. It's all pre-recorded. Go at your own pace from home. That includes those live Zoom portions, so you can get the extra help you need. And I'm always available for people that have taken my course to ask questions. And I kind of have the Patreon set up so people coming out of the course, if they want to zip into Fiverr Club or into Patreon, that gives them access to me via Zoom and everything too. So, and a wonderful community if you're just starting out. Okay. Don't forget to subscribe. Please let YouTube know that you enjoy what I'm doing. Tell all your friends, you know, all your spinning friends. And thank you so much for watching. I truly appreciate every single one of you. I hope that you make so many pretty things. Until I see you next time, stay healthy and be kind to everybody around you. All right, thank you.